I'm Graham Hancock. I'm an author. Last 20 years or so, I've been writing books about historical mysteries and more recently looking into the mysteries of human consciousness. It seems to me, in our society today, the 21st century industrialized West, that we are making a series of gigantic mistakes, of which one of the largest is the notion that we know everything, that we're somehow the apex and the pinnacle of human achievement. It's true that we have registered extraordinary achievements in the material sciences. But in the realms of spirit, we are pygmies, we are dwarves by comparison with the ancients. If we want to learn how to make a good society that will nurture all that is valuable and worthwhile in each and every individual, we have to look around much more widely than our own narrow and limited achievements. We have to look back to the ancients. Consider the ancient Egyptians. When they were visited by the Greek historian Herodotus, he found them to be the happiest, the most contented, the most fulfilled people that he had ever met. And this secret of happiness came from contact with the realm of spirit. And ancient Egypt maintained that contact without interruption for 3,000 years. For 3,000 years, they put their best minds to work on considering really what it is to be alive, the mystery of being a human being alive on this planet, and the mystery of what happens to us after death. Our society devotes no resources to such questions at all. Simply tries to present us to ourselves as material creatures, accidents of chemistry and biology, with nothing beyond that. No wonder that we're entering such a dark time when we've cut ourselves off from the realm of spirit and refuse to learn from the past. We need change. We desperately need change. We think of ourselves as a fast-moving, rapidly changing society. But if you look in at the fine details, you'll discover that actually very few changes are taking place. I'm reminded of an earlier episode in the human story. If you go back 6 million years to the last common ancestor with the chimpanzee and trace the whole story of evolution forward, you find that there are just millions and millions and millions of years of complete boredom, where our ancestors are stuck utterly in a rut, making no changes, relying on the system that they have developed, not thinking laterally, not thinking creatively. And then around 40 or 50,000 years ago, it's as though a light is switched on in the human brain all around the world. And we see the most extraordinary creativity bursting out everywhere. And I'm thinking here specifically of the amazing cave art and the rock paintings of prehistoric times. I've investigated this subject in some depth and worked with the leading edge academics in this field. And it's clear now that this radical change that took place long ago in the past, that lifted our ancestors out of a rut of limited behavior and moved them into a broader framework, came about because, perhaps by chance, our ancestors began to explore altered states of consciousness. And my sense is today that if we are going to achieve the kind of change we need to shake our societies out of the rut that they've got stuck in, the rut of the technological fix, the rut of money, the rut of endless production, the rut of endless consumption, that there's a cycle in which we are either producers or consumers or both, and that this is all we're supposed to do. if we're going to get ourselves out of that rut again, we have to change our consciousness just as radically as our ancestors did 40 or 50,000 years ago. We need to reconnect with the realm of spirit. We need to understand that we are not solely and simply material creatures. Yes, we are material creatures. Yes, we have material needs. But what shines within the human being is the spirit, is the soul. And the soul is not addressed in our society today, except in very rigid and narrow ways that are put forward by the orthodox mainstream religions. We need a radical leap forward. And I would really say that the answers to the problems that we confront lie partly in the study of the magnificent civilizations in the past, but also very important to consider shamans and shamanism in surviving tribal and hunter-gatherer societies all around the world. Over the last 5 or 6 years, I've been privileged to drink the Amazonian visionary brew, ayahuasca, many, many times. And I've observed that that ayahuasca has come out of the jungle, come out of the Amazon jungle, and is spreading her tentacles all around the world. And each and every human being who she touches is changed and transformed by the contact. I would go so far as to say that if we really want change in the future, we should make it an absolutely mandatory condition of employment for any head of state that they must have 10 ayahuasca sessions before they're given the job. I think that if that were the case, we would find our politicians less greedy, less ego-driven, less manipulative, less controlling, more open, more willing to create a better world, willing in their hearts rather than just in their words. I think that one amongst many of the huge mistakes that our society is making is that it values only one level of human consciousness, and that is the alert problem-solving state of consciousness that makes us effective producers and consumers, that makes us part of the economic machine of Western industrial society, failing to recognize that there are so many other states of consciousness of which human beings are capable. It's a sign of this that our society today does not even allow us as adults to be sovereign over our own consciousness. I'm thinking of the persecution of the psychedelic plants which liberated our ancestors from millions of years of stasis. In modern civilization, even to consume one of these plants is considered a criminal act. You can be sent to prison for many years for so doing, and nobody really seems to consider what this means. It means that we've created a society that has taken control of the most intimate, the most precious part of ourselves, our own consciousness. If I'm not sovereign over my own consciousness, then I'm not sovereign over anything. I might as well not talk about freedom or democracy or any such highfalutin ideas until that problem is solved. The issue of consciousness, our rights, our sovereignty over our own consciousness will be a fundamental issue for the future. And we cannot change our society if we don't change our consciousness first. I think what we have to understand is we are the authors of our own story. Nobody else is writing this story for us. We are writing it ourselves. We have enormous, limitless potential, presently narrowed down because we are not in control of our own story. We're handing that responsibility over to others who may be malign, who may be unkind, who may be narrow. We must take control of this story again. We will write our own future. The world can be bright or dark. It's up to us. The choice is ours. The responsibility is ours. And we must exercise that choice, and we must accept that responsibility.